This week on the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Oh, the developers and all the people that work at Fantasy Flight are clearly Empire fans as well.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Trooper podcast, where we talk Legion, Star Wars Legion. My name is Jay Shalansky, and I am joined by Evan Bulris.
Hey, how's it going?
How's things, man?
Excellent, now that I got a tank on the horizon.
Oh my God, I know this is... I know everybody wanted to get the kind of the breakdown and the previews of the other troops there that are coming out next week. The commanders and the unit leaders. Yeah, but this was just as good in my eyes.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've all been kind of expecting the Occupier, but we weren't really sure what the Rebels are getting. I guess it fits that they get a speeder with guns on it.
Yeah, it's funny. Yesterday's episode of Notorious Scoundrels, I was their guest and we talked a lot about this at length, but it just seems like it almost seems like I made a joke on their podcast, like, oh, the developers and all the people that work at Fantasy Flight are clearly Empire fans as well, because they just keep putting out these ridiculous units for the Empire. And then the Rebels get some weird, like, as Orchimedes or Kyle, as he's gone by now, and Notorious, he called it just basically like a pickup truck with a grenade launcher guy on the back.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, right? Because Empire has, you know, if you want to think about, like, the least interesting spacecraft, right? They've got, like, TIE fighters and TIE bombers, whereas Rebels have all the cool stuff, right? X-wings, A-wings, Y-wings. So you can't be great everywhere, I guess. Gotta have something to fall back on. So the Empire gets cooler land vehicles.
Yeah, that's definitely it. And I think, you know, it's just unfortunate because it, as cool as I think speeder is, the land speeder, I read some of the fuzzy text because apparently I'm good at that. And, you know, it just doesn't come out as strong as the tank, nor should it, right? Because you're kind of a rabble,
force. So, like, it's, what's the speed on it?
Two.
Two? Okay, that's pretty good. So it can carry, it has transport, which is a rule that was released in the newer FAQ a while ago, but we're actually seeing it in a vehicle. For one model, not one unit, but just like one dude.
It says one model with a small base.
So you could put, Luke's problem is always getting to the fight.
Yep.
So you just drive Luke up and dump him off. I mean,
yeah, because the interest
real slow.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting thing about that transport wording is it says if you suffer one or more wounds, you allocate one wound to each mini or unit. I forget which one it was. So,
because they're both open top, yeah.
Right, but okay, so here's what it says. After defending, if you suffer one or more wounds, each unit you are transporting suffers one wound. So let's say you suffered five wounds, Luke's only getting one.
Correct, yeah.
So part of that, not only getting, you're transporting Luke at maybe a little bit faster of a clip, but you're also giving him protection on the way.
Yeah, no, I think it's because it has, they both have armor, but the speeder has armor too, which is a kind of got me confused. Correct. When I was reading it. Yeah, it's where it
ignores, they did that backwards.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Like you think armor, nothing, no number would just be like, I don't know, the way they have it. So armor two means they only block two hits, but they also have speeder. So it gives them cover one. So they technically, if you're just shooting at them open, they got three hits they don't care about before they start getting hit. I mean, for 75 points or whatever it is, 77 points.
Yeah, 75. Yep.
It's like,
it's not bad.
No, I actually think running a couple of them as good flankers, like, I think it almost replaces the T-47.
Oh, I think it does for sure. Yeah, I mean, the interesting part, the one pilot that we can read, he's from Rebels. I forgot his name. They told me last night. It's not someone I personally knew. Yeah. But it said, while performing a move, increase or decrease your movement speed by one. So that's weird. So basically what it sounds like, for 5 points, you put this guy in there. And for one of your moves, you can go three.
Yeah. Also, because you have compulsory, right? You have to move.
Yep.
He can change that too, right? Because it's a
Right.
But I think that's the real value of him is like, I only want to go one here, or I really need to go three here. Because you can go like 3-2-2 and just be gone, right? Like nothing's catching you.
Yep. Yeah, and it's interesting. I'd like to see what the other pilot says, because it looks like Outer Rim something. But basically, because both of them say repulsor vehicles only, so they're going to be used. They can be used in the airspeeder as well. So okay. Depending on what that other pilot may give them, you know, maybe the airspeeder becomes more relevant. I don't know.
No, I got to find. I don't know if it's come up yet, but I wonder if a unit holding an objective can get into a transport. I'm not sure about that.
I don't know about that either. The other question around transport too is that we brought up yesterday on the podcast on Notorious Scoundrels was, can a unit shoot while they're being transported? That's the other question. So the scenario was, can you pop Han in this, roll him up against something and just start shooting?
So in other miniature games that have open top vehicles, you can. But they usually have, but when open top usually comes with its own problems, like it, you know, Legion doesn't really differentiate between like artillery grenades and normal shots. They just kind of lump it into an attack. So, you don't have to worry about like, well, if people have grenades, it's real bad for your open top transport. But on the flip side, closed vehicles, right? They generally can't get hit, but they can't shoot. So, I'm not sure. That's a good question. Hopefully when they come out, they'll come with that little rule insert that sometimes clarifies what's going on.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to, because they're just missing the whole transport section, right? And so I'm sure they're going to need a few paragraphs on that just to kind of give us a clue as to where that's going to, you know, take place or how that's going to work. I will say this, though, you know, something that really, really excites me about this is we've been talking about the future and how they're going to do clones and droids. Droid transports. It's the one thing I want. Like, I want to drive a droid transporter across the battlefield and just be dropping units like it's nobody's business. I think that'll be amazing.
I think you're going to see it. You gotta. So that's where I believe they want to differentiate between close top, open top. Because droids are going to be closed, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And then, you know, they have the number too. So it's transport X. So it's, you know, transport one.
Yeah.
So maybe there's going to be a transport four. And then, you know, if it's closed, I would assume, you know, so the question is with these two, since they're open, do you like, okay, so the tank has all that room in the back where the Kyber crystal boxes are.
Oh,
so
there.
You take That's those cool. off. Right. And then does the unit that you're transporting with that one, do they just all sit on the back? Is that how that works? Or, you know what I mean? Or do you set them aside off the battlefield? That's the interesting.
I was just going to put them in the back of the tank myself when playing. I don't know what the official rule is, but if I don't have I thought they were just, I didn't realize they're Kyber crystals. I thought they were just like a light terrain you could drop around. So you move.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that either, but yeah, maybe.
Because you'd move your tank forward, then you could throw out these little like light barriers to get your guys so you can advance in like an open space.
Yeah, I wonder if that's one of the upgrades, like, because it doesn't have any wording on the actual card for that, but maybe there's an upgrade for that. That's, you know, you create your own terrain. That'd be crazy too.
Right. Just to get to the fight. Because as soon as I saw that, I'm like, man, you put Imperial Royal Guard in there, so you could just dump them out at full health right in front of a bunch of guys. You could get snowtroopers in there. Vader could get a move. Empire, like the Palpatine, could get, you know, just get to the front line if you want them to.
I mean, the other thing is it doesn't say small base mini. So, like I brought up on the podcast yesterday, you could put an E-Web on it.
That's really funny. Actually, that's a good idea, right? Like, E-Web's biggest problem is they're real clunky and That's really funny. Yeah. UWeb's actually a really good idea. Like, just really start going crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, a while ago when the eWebs and the laser cannons first came out, I was really down on them. And I've brought this up again, but man, I am, like, right now I'm in love with them. I think they are the eWebs, not so much laser cannons, but the eWebs are such a great tool. And I think it's because I have them with Palpatine, so I think that really helps you know what I'm doing. But God, I just love them so much. They are so good.
I played them for one in my past TTS game, and it was the first time I used them, so I had the basic idea of what I wanted to do with them. And my first one just died. Like, he just took all, he got shot two hits, took two hits, got shot again two hits and died. And I'm like, oh, these things are garbage, right? And then my second one started, you know, I did the standby, move standby, and I got a shot, and it just was a bad roll. Like, not much you can do about that. But I did like them. I thought they were, after I used them, they're really great. Like, zone control. The other guy had to hide all of his guys behind buildings, so he couldn't get I couldn't get a shot on him. I think they're like, I'm growing on them too. I used to not think stationary weapons were to have any chance in this game, but I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is you know you look at them, you gotta look at them from almost like they're kind of like a cannon fodder unit. And so for 55 points, you know, especially if you use like, okay, you, and I'll here's a little insight. So I just did a TTS stream on our YouTube channel, and you can check it out. Go check out our YouTube channel. And I was just testing out my list for LVO against one of our listeners, Sploosh, if you're out there, yo. And so we had a nice game, and I was like monkeying and doing some funky stuff and just trying to figure stuff out. But one of my favorite kind of combos that I have in my arsenal now is if we do like a key positions or a the other one just dropped out of my head. It always does. What's
intercept the transmissions?
Intercept the transmission. Yeah, intercept the transmission key positions. What I like to do is try to get rapid reinforcements as well. And so what happens is I put the eWebs aside for rapid reinforcements. I drop entire Legion with Palpatine so that I get all my activations open. So then I know when to put that all that's left in my stack, or roughly what's left in my stack, is the eWebs. And then I can use them to basically tie down these locations, these objectives. And so, like, I'll drop, like, so, okay, intercept the transmissions, get the one in the middle, the two on the sides, right? So what I'll do is I'll pull an eWeb off the stack, and I'll just drop it next to one of the objectives, because no one's moved within two of it yet, because of the way the board's set up and the fact that it's basically turn one or turn two for me, you know, and so, or activation one or activation two. And so I just drop the eWebs next to the objective, and now they have to deal with that.
No, I think that's good, because you can't, they're easy to kill, but you can't ignore them. Right. Because they surge to crits, like, that's pretty mean. So the red die is only one miss for them. And then anything they get just gets better. And then if you want to put a battery on them, which I don't really care for on the eWebs, on the 1.4 cannons, I believe you want the suppression battery. Where the impact, maybe when the tank meta is real, you'll want the extra impact. But I think just 55 points just naked, you get two of them for 100 points. That's pretty good. 110 points.
Yeah, well, and I think Palpatine makes them better, because what you do is you're not, like, you can move, and let's say instead of standby, you can move and aim, and then if you got them in a good position, you can use Palpatine to pull the strings and have them shoot. And so now you're giving yourself all these other options. Now, if you're running Royal Guard too, which you absolutely, if you're running Palpatine, you should be running Royal Guard. Like, if you're not doing that, you're crazy. And so you run Royal Guard, and now if they're within one, they can now they can Guardian two. So now you're saving your E-webs and building up that that power, you know. And so, yeah, it's just there's a lot of good combos with the E-webs with Pelp and the Guards that I've really been enjoying lately. And so it's really kind of changed my perspective on the E-webs. And I think just overall for everybody who listens to us, like there's going to be things where you, the listener, or myself, or Evan, or maybe even Notorious Scoundrels, you may not see all the kind of combinations that are possible with these units until, you know, all the units are released, right? So, like, for instance, with the Airspeeder, I don't know, with this tank and stuff coming out, the Airspeeder for the Rebels may get really strong now. We don't know what that other pilot is that comes with the Landspeeder, so maybe that enhances the Airspeeder.
Yeah, there's a couple, you know, so usually when they have cards face down in the list, like when they're doing the fan of cards, it's something that's already out. But, you know, it's possibly maybe it's not. Maybe it's new comms upgrades that could make, like, the speeder better. Maybe it's anything. You know, it could be another hard point, maybe. I don't know. I have hope that as much as everyone thinks, well, it is, not even thinks, like, knows that the Airspeeder is probably the worst unit, arguably, in the game currently. I don't think it's going to stay that way forever. Give it an expansion or two, and we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say I think right now as it stands, yeah, it's the worst unit, but that could change depending on what happens right from here on out. And it just seems like, God, I just every time they come out with something, I think we knew the tank was coming eventually. I did not expect it this fast. And so just the fact that the Occupier is out, I mean, I was giddy yesterday about this. I'm like, oh my God, we got a tank. Like, I was so happy.
Yeah, I'm excited. I was really happy too, because I really wanted, I get it. It's a trooper game. I get it. But I like vehicles in Star Wars, so I just want to see some more of them. But now there's actually like a debate for your heavy spot in Imperial. Like, do I want to go to AT-ST and really, because if someone brings a tank and you've got an AT-ST, that tank's in trouble, right?
Oh, agree 100%. Yep.
That tank's in real trouble. But on the flip side, the tank's probably better off against infantry.
Yep.
So now that we actually get this, like, rock, paper, scissors, like, bluffing game. So do I take the AT-ST and hope I run against some tank guys? You know, am I going to be one of those guys who I bring, like, a couple list variants and I go to the event and I look around and see what people are playing and then build my list accordingly? I am not one of those guys, but you can be, right? You can have a tank and an AT-ST.
Yeah.
They're roughly the same points.
I will say,
I like just
go ahead. Sorry.
I was saying, I just like to bring one, like, take all comers lists.
Yep.
But like, you know, it becomes a hard choice, right? Because taking both is insane. It's like 200 points. It's like 400 points of just vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess to that point with what you were saying about, you know, having multiple lists, I never planned on being that guy, but I'll tell you something that scared me recently. I saw some of the LVO terrain, like LJ's been, talk polite, LJ, he's been spoiling some of the terrain, or previewing, I guess is a better word, previewing the terrain for LVO. And one of them was an X-Wing, like, hangar bay, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm like, what's that?
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you saw it. So I was looking at that. And so right now my list currently has two sniper units. I'm like, what am I going to do with snipers on this? Like, and I'm like, okay, I need to come up with a second list in case I get there and I'm looking around at the terrain and I'm just like, this is not sniper friendly. Like, this is going to be more, you know, beat 'em up units. Yeah. So right now I'm looking at maybe swapping out my two snipers for Imperial, for the Royal Guard, another Royal Guard unit.
No, because sure. I mean, you can. Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, I actually made me happy when I saw that, like, it's not just sniper heaven, right?
Yes.
Because if you take the Long March, you don't feel like you're screwed. You can just run through all those X-Wings. But that's also more cover than the 25%, right?
Yeah.
So it's just which isn't bad. You know, like, that's the minimum, right? They say it's 25%. So we'll see. I mean, I saw it and I thought it looked cool. I think it'd be cool to have like an AT-ST marching down that line.
The hangar bay. Yeah, I love themed. Don't get me wrong. I love themed terrain. I'm not against this at all. But it just made me, I mean, and to be quite honest, even before I saw the terrain, I was really starting to question my snipers. Like, okay. I get that they can be an auto wound, right? I get that. Okay, so before anybody hollers at us about that, no, I understand what they do, but like, and Evan, you put it this way pretty well. So, normal games, if you can make it, not dependent on time, you get 6 rounds. Mm-hmm. So you're basically gonna get 6 shots with your snipers. Most of the time, your opponent is focusing on your snipers, so that takes away one or two of their, you know, activations of snipers, or you're focusing on theirs. So like the max you're doing is 6 wounds.
Yep.
But I found that most of the games anymore don't go to 6 rounds, that you maybe get 4, maybe 5 in. And so you're getting maybe 3 to 4 wounds, maybe.
Yeah, no, I agree. After the last couple games I've had with mine, you know, I put them in a good spot. They've gotten to take shots every turn, but sometimes they just roll 2 blanks into 2 blanks, and you're like, okay. you know, you put even with rerolls, right? You throw a Veer's extra reroll on them, you're like, all right, well.
Well, and it's like, okay, so there, you know, you got, let's say you have, so I'll use my my problem here as an example. I have 2 sniper units. I have, and so that's 2 wounds with white dice. And they're definitely going to, I mean, yes, you could say that really the only thing that's going to go after them is other sniper units. Sure. But that's like, that's almost a guaranteed kill, right? With these sniper units, because white dice, number one, plus the pierce, like it just, they don't last very long. So my dilemma that I've had lately, and the thing I've been asking myself is, okay, are they worth enough because they suppress and they're kind of holding back units, or would it make more sense for me to put in some Rock'em Sock'em robot guards where now I have 6 wounds with red dice plus guardian plus all this other stuff, and I toss them in instead. And now I, it's so for me that because Palpatine is so much control, like he's, if I was going to reference like magic, he's a control deck, right? Like he's that blue white, I think it was blue white and black control deck from a few years ago when Return to Ravnica was big. And so my question is the snipers control enough or are they aggro? So that's what I've been kind of going back and forth about, where I feel like the guards help with that control because they're peeling wounds off of other units, plus they're controlling parts of the board because people see those Royal Guards and they're like, oh crap, I gotta deal with these guys now.
No, I'm way more scared of Royal Guards than I am snipers at this point. So my game plan used to always be take maximum firepower to wipe out a sniper unit, have my other sniper units shoot at sniper units, and then control the, like, I remove their snipers and I control the sniper game, right? I'm the only one who can do it. But man, it's,
yes,
even when you do that, it gets real disappointing when they don't do a whole lot for you. Like, yeah, they shoot, but like that one damage sometimes just doesn't matter a whole lot. Or it's, I don't know. I agree with you though. Like I used to think they were the be all end all, and now I'm kind of weighing if I'm going to take them anymore.
Yeah, same. And then if you run up against like a orbital bombardment or coordinated bombardment, it's just like, oh, now we got, Leia just took out 2 of my snipers because of that new deployment rule where you can't deploy on different levels of terrain. Yeah. If there isn't good terrain to hide your snipers behind, and to like hide the one unit and just leave your leader out, they're gone. Like that, her one pip card erases them.
No, I mean, that's what I use Veers for. That's really, until now that the new generic's going to be out this month, I'll probably be using the generic guy. But no, I agree. Like it feels bad on your end to just have them removed like that. And then like, you don't even know, like after mine survived the whole game, the last 2 games, and I don't really feel like they've done a whole lot for me. So yeah, I'm with you. I might be swapping them out just to see.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm about a month out from LVO, a little less than a month out from LVO. And I have the snipers in there for now. Part of me is considering taking them out and putting in the guards, but I may just bring both and then just see how the terrain looks and then make a decision from there.
I mean, we'll get some games in, right? Like, I haven't played, I love TTS as a platform to play.
Yes.
Legion on, but I also hate it. I'm starting to get like a 50-50 on this because the tables that you play on there are nowhere near the tables I actually ever get to play this game on for realsies.
Yes.
And no game on Vassal will matter as much as the game I'm playing on a real table, considering it's all like hyper. That's, you play on real tables to get into the hype, like the maximum firepower events and the worlds. And, you know, they might have great terrain there, but like the lists you build for TTS are different than the lists you build for like realsies. And it gets kind of frustrating. Granted, I am not the best player. I will be the first to admit that. I make a lot of mistakes. But still, I always feel like I have a closer game when I'm on the table. So I like it for a good testing ground. But from now on, we should just like try to get some real table games in.
Yeah, agreed. And that's, you know, I got a couple games next week with some of our listeners, which is pretty cool. They're going to be in town, so I'm going to play them. And yeah, I agree. I have to get more in and just keep, I mean, really that's, I think it was Freeman or LJ Freeman. I think I might've brought this up last cast too, but you know, that he basically says you just got to keep playing cause you got to build that muscle memory. And so like changing your list up isn't really a great idea. It's just keep playing your list until you know your list by heart and you know what it can and can't do.
The problem is you get in those zones though, right? So it's like, because I don't get to play Legion as much, you really need, like in X-Wing, you say you really got to play this list like 10 times to really feel if it's you or the list, right?
Yeah.
Or you just had a bad day. But with Legion, like I'll play once and lose and be like, well, this thing's garbage. And it could have just been I played poorly or I had bad dice. But you really got to stick with it a few rounds. Like I played a lot more with the five troopers, two ATSTs and Veers, and I really kind of wanted to just to feel it out. And it just lacked a kick. Like that was after every game. That's what I felt. So I'm like, okay, time to actually change.
Yeah. And I'll say, so with my list that I'm bringing to LVO, I think I've lost two games with it and I've won 9 at this point now with this list.
That's good. That's pretty good.
And I feel like I'm in every game.
Yeah.
Like even the two I lost to two very good players, I still felt like
you had a chance.
Yeah, like it could have gone, gone either way in those moments. And I felt like I've been up against almost everything except for really Chewy. I've played against Wookiees. I haven't played against Chewy, but I've been up. I'm trying to think most of the rebel stuff I've seen with this list besides airspeeders, but that's not going to be a problem at LVO.
Yeah.
And you know, so I feel pretty confident with the list. It's going good. And I know what it can and can't do. And, you know, for instance, like if you watch our live stream that I did, the other day with Sploosh, I believe that was Sunday. You know, I tried some crazy stuff out with the list, particularly with the Royal Guard. And I just wanted to see if they could survive without, you know, because it's kind of like one of those, like the Raptors testing the fences for weakness. And so I was like, okay, like the guards are good when they're near Pelp and they're getting their activation for free and, you know, with Entourage and they're getting all this stuff. What if I put them... It was the split battlefield, and I'm like, what if I put them on the opposite side, just by themselves? What can they do?
Yeah, yeah.
And the answer is, they were scary still. Like he still had to contend with them, and they didn't do as good as they could have, but they still were a beast to deal with.
You know, it's funny you should say that because like even when they shoot, it's two black dice apiece. That's a lot, yeah. Man. Like, that's why I was kind of hoping with the tank, I would throw a full scout trooper unit in there, maybe with the mine layer, and move the tank up, and then have other threats besides the tank. And when the tank got close enough to drop out the scouts, and they start just shooting, you know, all those dice everywhere, that might be a pretty valid tactic.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Royal Guard, right? I'm putting it down on the books right now, and you guys can listen to yesterday's Notorious Scoundrels, because I put up a fight for them too. And the fight yesterday on Scoundrels was two Royal Guard units versus Vader. Not fighting Vader, but taking it in, your list.
Yeah.
And my argument, two guard units instead of Vader, right? And so what I'm saying is, I get Vader has all this special stuff with command cards. Okay, no denying that, no arguing that. But from a unit to unit standpoint, I still think they're as much of a board changer as Vader is. And that's my opinion, and I may be wrong. Like, I get Vader has Pierce and all this other junk, but man, they are a threat basically the whole game. I was going to say from range two in, but from the whole game, they're a threat. You need to plan around them because they are going to come mess you up.
Twice by my past two TTS games, I've lost to, well, the first one and the third one, I've lost to Imperial Guard. It's like one guy getting through. Like, I just can't, like, when they get close to tie up something, because tying up a unit is more valuable than it seems. Like, it's good. Like, I think they're good. Yeah, I agree with you, because there's more health points worth of damage you have to chew through. They have Guardian too, so if you've got something else that needs to get up to the front, they can protect it. They can protect each other if you feel like it, if you want to spread that damage around, which is a real good tactic. And then if they feel like shooting, it's like, 18 black dice, so it's fine.
Yeah, they're so good. I love
you give them tenacity. That's a free red dice. Like,
yep.
Sure.
Yep, in the melee, yeah, I do that. My thought is, maybe adding them back in. And I know we kind of got on a tangent here, but I think this is a good conversation. So I think they're good. The E-webs, I think when this goes back to and this is similar, and I know a lot of people complain when we talk about Keyforge, but you know what? This is my podcast. I'm going to say whatever I want. So when you play Keyforge, there's kind of like these hidden combos in the game, that you may not see at first, and then all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, that's insane. I didn't see that the first five times I played this deck. And that's kind of how this Palpatine list is working for me right now. I feel like every time I play it, I'm like, oh man, I didn't think of that. Like, that's another really insane combo that I can do with this deck. Or, I can do X with this list. And it's just every time I play it, there's something new that I'm like, oh man, I love this list. So it's really interesting that I've finally found. It's been a while. Like, for anybody who's been listening to the podcast for a while, like, I've been struggling this from like episode 3, right? Is like finding a list that feels right to me and that I just understand, and like, it excites me. And this Palpatine list is that list right now. Cool.
Hey man, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm still in flux. I haven't found a good imp list I've liked in a while. I just love the ATSD, so I'm always going to play it. But the tank's coming out, so that's good. And I wanted to do Death Troopers with Krennic, so maybe I'll switch to that. But I'd really like to do generic stuff, so I'll be finally happy and settled to figure something out when everything's finally out. I'm almost getting like, I like the new units, but I'm starting to get frustrated with all the new stuff they keep releasing. I'm like, just either release a new thing or just let me. Like, just let me know that this is all I'm getting. Like, don't pull my heartstrings. I just want to have all my options out so I can start really looking at everything. But hey, Death Troopers, Krennic, and a tank is coming, so that's positive.
Well, it's just interesting because, they got us all hyped for clones and droids, and yet I thought that they were going to start pulling back on these lists, you know, to prep for that.
Yeah.
But they haven't pulled back at all. Like they are going strong into, so I think we're looking at, so these would, I'm guessing we're going to come out similar time, but I think that's going to be the way the release schedule would be working is those are going to come out in March, April, probably April, June, April, May,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
are when those are going to come out. Because I think Jin is supposed to be for February. Krennic and Death Troopers are supposed to be for March. So then April, May. And then that would put us, you know, I would guess they'll probably have a couple more releases. My guess is that roughly around Gen Con is when the Clone Troopers droids are going to come out, because Fantasy Flight loves Gen Con and loves to announce things.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. No, that'll be the actual announcement. I mean, they announced, like, anything that's announced now is going to come out. Like the worst offender was those guns, right? They announced like the E-Web and the 1.4 cannon, like, yes, 6 months before it came out. Then like they got, like, Boba Fett got released before, and then they all got goofy. So hopefully they got it figured out now, and I'll be excited to get a bunch of new units to play with this month, for both sides, right? Aren't both coming out this month?
Yeah, they're both coming out.
Thank God. So I really hope they start sticking to that and just releasing both sides at the same time, instead of that 1 month gets Imperial, 1 month gets Rebels. So both, if you're like me, who's kind of a single faction player, I don't feel left in the dust here that I'm not getting like the new cool toy. So cool. I'm pumped for the 26.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing I think is going to be, if I was them, and this is me just guessing, is that I would put out another core set, and it would be the two fact. Yeah. It would be the two factions. I'd do it similarly where it'd be. So what they put out, the core set plus the AT-ST and the land speed and the air speeder,
yeah,
I think were all the ones that kind of came out at the same time. I would do the same thing with this so that people can build an 800 point army with the two new armies and be somewhat competitive in the landscape.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there.
Okay. So next thing I think we'd like to talk, and we haven't done this in a long time, but I'd like to talk about We're Doing It Wrong. So this is a section of the cast where we usually talk about rules that either we got wrong or rules that popped up that maybe we weren't aware of. So two of the ones that I'd like to talk about today are both in the attack kind of phase of the game. So the first one that actually came up on the live stream that I had the other night was cover. And so what had happened was we had a tie based on line of sight to the minis for cover. So there was a tie for light cover and a tie for heavy cover. So basically I couldn't see one unit. Two units were in heavy and two were in light. And what it basically comes down to in the rule book is that if there's a tie, it goes to the heavier option. So if there's a tie for light cover and no cover, it would go to light. If there's a tie for light and heavy cover, it goes to heavy. I have literally never run into that situation before. This was the first time that has ever happened to me, and I had no idea. And luckily, Sploosh, who was playing against, he had listened to Notorious Scoundrels, one of their streams, one of their live streams for, I think it was Team League or Invader League, and it came up during one of the streams. And so they had talked about, I think Endless and Orchimedes had talked about it and covered that. And so luckily he knew that, but it was just such an odd situation that I had never been in before. And it wasn't something that I honestly ever thought about.
Oh, I mean, I was watching the stream when that happened, and I wasn't really thinking too much about it. And then when they explained, I'm like, oh, I guess that makes sense with 50-50. I never thought about the cover thing, though. Like, right, that was the first time I've ever seen that myself.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And you know, there's all these little kind of bullets, right, inside the rules reference that, you know, even those of us that play all the time, there's still things that just don't come up that you run into. And so I thought that was a good one that I would make everybody aware of on the cast. The other one, and this is something I always kind of always second guess and maybe get a little confused with is the kind of the attack steps and how, like, the order of that. And so, you know, the part is really that always kind of tricks my brain a little bit is the rolling attack die step. So you roll the dice, you resolve any rerolls like aim or anything like that.
Okay.
Then here's where it gets, I was going to say dodgy. Got so him. Pun. There you go. Here's where it gets dodgy is when you're converting. So you convert surges to what is indicated on your card. Then, or you change them to blank if there's no indication. And I think this part's important because I think we skip this sometimes. So physically changing them to what's indicated on the card, because then comes the apply, dodge, and cover step. So, like, sometimes I know I ran into this the other day. It was like, wait, that's a surge. I don't remember where the dodge cover kind of action takes place in this list. And it takes place after you convert surges.
Yep.
Okay. And then, you know, then you would dodge or cover to cancel the hits. And so, and then, you know, and then you go, and then you can, and then after that is the attacker can resolve any card abilities that modify the dice. Then the defender can resolve any card abilities that modify the attack dice. So that's kind of the, you know, that's kind of
no,
the,
sure. I mean, when we first started playing, like, you know, we didn't have anyone to teach us, so we just kind of learned as we went. And, you know, we goofed up some of that ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and not, you know, another thing, I want to say it was during your stream. Another thing I think is a good habit to get into is if there's multiple hits with a unit that has pierce, always roll the dice. Just always roll the
dice. Oh, yeah. I just goofed up, so...
No, and I wasn't picking on you specifically. I'm just no, that's no,
it's
just fine. Something
it's good
that
to,
we should just
to, you know, talk about. So I was he had pierce two, and he did three hits. And so for whatever reason in my mind, instead of what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to roll three dice and then you take away the two pierce hits, and then so if I rolled three hits, I mean three evades to his three hits with two pierce, two would get auto pierced, so I'd take two damage. That makes sense? Because three, then one, then two. Pierce is a little weird because you do roll the dice. In my mind, for whatever reason, I just thought I ignored two dice rolls. So I just took them out and just rolled one because I'm like, well, they're going to be damaged anyway. It's because it could be even worse for me. It could be I only roll like one shield, so I just take full three, nothing to do for it. And I just wasn't even thinking. Like, I lost three guys anyway. But no, that's important. Like, never just assume a pierce is like a die roll you don't need to roll. You always roll for it. And it may seem like you might be listening to this and going like, well, duh. And I'm like, yeah, sure. But pierce doesn't come up a whole lot. And a lot of times with, like, the problem is you get very used to snipers. You say one pierce damage and you just pick up a guy. Whereas in reality, you're supposed to roll the die. You're going to lose them anyway, but if it comes up as a shield or blank, then you take them off, right? So it's or even with pierce two and he only does two hits, so he just losing two guys. I think what happens is you just get in the habit of just like, okay, two guys are dead, and you pick them up, but you really should roll anyway still, just to get the correct, like, rhythm of how things are supposed to go, and then you won't make those mistakes, right?
Yeah, and I think pierce gets tricky in that scenario, and it also gets tricky with impervious with Boba.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and just understanding. And also, here's the other thing with pierce. So pierce is an interesting thing. So the way pierce reads, it says, while attacking, cancel up to one shield result. Okay, mm-hmm. One block. Now, if I guardian... or if I use a steam leader, I get to choose which defense die I'm going to pierce. So, like, let's say, for instance, you're shooting my Palpatine. with sniper rifle. Okay.
Yep.
You get the, let's say you get two hits and I'm like, all right, I'm going to guardian one of those hits. You can choose to pierce the guardian role and, or Palpatine's role. So now you get to choose either one. So whatever shield pops up, you get to pierce that.
Okay,
so it's just something to think about with Pierce. And also Boba gets confusing for people too, because let's say you have Pierce 2 with Boba, and let's say there's 4 wounds, so you're actually rolling 6 dice, right? Yep. The way Pierce works is I can pierce shields. Let's say you get a couple blanks. Well, now this is where it starts getting confusing, right? Like if I get 4 hits through, and then I'm going to, you know, and you roll, let's say you roll 6 dice with 4 shields, 2 of that's going through.
Yep. Yep.
And so sometimes that just gets confusing for people. So what I would recommend is if you're having trouble wrapping your head around it, don't let your opponent fast play you in this instance. Just ask them to be like, hey, hold on. Can you just slow down? I just need to wrap my head around what just happened.
Sure.
As far as this dice
and,
pool
goes. You're not slow playing for asking for that. You're doing the dice correctly, because even with a sniper who just does one damage and kills one guy in a unit, you're still supposed to roll. And you're being, I believe both players have that agreement, like, well, we'll just get through this as fast as we can so we can get through the rounds. But no, like, time's there to roll the die, right? Right. Again, with a sniper, that's one thing, but for all those crazy ones, like, roll the dice, figure it out, take your time. It's fine. Like, if the game hinged on that die roll, you'd be really upset that you didn't try to figure it out correctly. And if it ends up going to time, you don't finish the round. Like, that's just how it is. Like, that's the game, man. Like, you don't not... If you're afraid of slow playing and you're afraid of holding up the other guy, when you win a game of Legion, you don't get $1 million, right? It's just a game won. So don't... Right. It's a game for fun. Winning is important, but having fun, because you are pushing around plastic toys, is the main thing. So just play at your speed. You know, if you're getting close to time, you know, keep that in mind, but just play the way you want to, figure things out. Don't let people tell you make sure you see it too. That's my big thing too. It's like someone says 3 right. hits, be like, well, could you put the dice, could you roll where I can see them? You know, like that's not out of the way. Like, do yep. stuff like that. Like, that's okay. Like, don't ever feel bad for asking for stuff like that.
No. And I would, especially in a tournament situation, you know, and everybody seems, even myself, this is me too. Everybody is just so worried about being perceived as slow playing someone. And I mean, listen, man, most people who are cool will know whether or not you're trying to slow play them. Like if it's a complicated set of circumstances or a complicated move after a deployment or something, most people are going to go, yeah, no, dude, I get this. Like, this is tough. Take your time. So don't ever feel like you're going to get accused of slow playing because you're just trying to think through something.
No, I agree. Yep. 100% agree.
Now, there definitely are people who try to slow play, and you're going to have to be on them. Like, if they're just doing ridiculous stuff, you know, don't let them get away with it. But don't hurry yourself because you don't want to get accused of it. You know, screw them. Like, let them accuse you of it if they really yeah. think that's what's happening. And then yeah, you can yeah. call a judge
that's
over.
That's what they're there for.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's the other thing. Don't ever be scared of calling a judge. Like, I mean, that's something I have to get better at too. And I've been working on that. And that's something going into LVO. Like, if there's something Judge. That confuses yep. me or something I don't agree. Yeah. I don't agree with my opponent. I'm going to call a judge because the stakes are a little bit higher at LVO. I mean, listen, it's still a game and it's just for fun, but they're a little bit higher. So I'm going to try to be a little bit more persistent on certain
things. Like, it's, there's this weird perception in miniature games, especially like all the Fantasy Flight games like X-Wing and Legion, where calling a judge is perceived as like negative, like, oh, he's calling a judge over. Like, watch a Magic tournament, they call judge immediately if something, like, there's not even like a conversation, right? Like, whereas like Legion, I'm like, well, yeah, I think that's right. I'm not sure, so we'll do it your way. Like, I hate that stuff. Like, If you're playing casually, sure, whatever. If you're paid to go to Vegas, like call a judge. They're there to do that. They're there to make those choices, to measure, to see if something has line of sight, to confirm a rule. Like if something doesn't sound right to you that the opponent's telling you, call a judge. They'll come over. And if it's just a quick, when I'm clambering over a fence, he says he only rolls one, but I thought you rolled two because it's one for up and down. Right. Then you just be like, yes or no, then cool. You're done. Right.
Right. Yeah. And I would say most judges at some of these higher end tournaments are going to be really good and going to be cool. And, you know, I would say, and you guys can disagree with me, write in and let us know. But one of the other things I would say too is if you're having a line of sight issue, like if you feel like you can see a piece of the mini, but your opponent's saying that you can't, get a judge. Because that's sure. Why they're there. Yeah. They're there to make impartial third party decisions so that you guys can move on with your game.
I'll be getting more into that in X-Wing. Because a lot of times an arc will be just, I don't know, right? Like so razor thin. And like the guy who wants the shot. And the guy who doesn't want to get shot doesn't want to get shot, yep. Right? And so it becomes like a... Well, like, and then the worst parts are when I think I really should be out, but I just say, yeah, go for it. And then I lose my ship and I lose the game. I'm like, man, I should have just took that. Like, who cares if we got to wait a minute, right? That's what time's there for. So never feel bad for calling the judge over for stuff like that.
Yeah. And then, so the next thing I want to talk about, and you know, we got like 10 minutes here, is time management. So this is something that I've been trying to get better at myself. Is understanding where the clock is at and kind of perceiving and going, okay, we've deployed, let's say we're halfway through round two, and let's say you are on intercept the transmissions where round two and round four are scoring rounds, right? Or you know, based on the time that it's taken you to get where you are, how much you've played enough, you can guess how much more time you got left, or you know, in activations and stuff. So what I would say is practice your time management and time awareness with the clock, because I would say probably half the games, three quarters of the games I've been playing lately, scoring, we didn't even make it to round six. Scoring was all within like round three or four, you know, maybe five. Okay. So, yeah. You know, you're not even going to make it to the end of the actual scoring round. So you want to make sure that you've secured your points. And I mean, listen, if you feel like you're in a no-win position with the objectives, maybe you need to try to table your opponent.
Oh, sure.
That's
something I need to learn to do.
Yeah,
more.
That's still a viable option. You know, for a victory.
Especially if you're Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, like sometimes you just can't get it and you got to go for it. Because it comes down to like sometimes there's just one or two units left on the board.
Yes.
Both of you.
You know,
and you never know, man. Dice are dice sometimes, right?
Yeah, right. And you just got to watch it. And you know, pay attention to, I think this is an obvious one, but paying attention to their command cards that they've played and understanding what they have left, you know, so that's a big one too.
Yeah. No, nothing's worth like not paying attention because you're just tired. This is like your fourth game in a row that they've already used their one pip and you thought they've been holding it this whole time.
Yeah.
And they throw down like a four pip. Right, and you go, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I mean, yeah, try, if anything, I would say, you know, before going into a bigger tournament, even your local tournament, try to understand all the command cards that are out there. You know, you don't have to have a full understanding of them, but just kind of get a gist for them so that when they pop, you're not surprised, you know,
at least understand what each, like the big whammer card of each captain is, right? Of each commander.
Yeah, and the only one that's a little tricky is Chewie because of how he works with the three units. So, you know, but just keep an eye out. Yeah. And, you know, like, you know, Han's going to pull some shenanigans on your hand and on your activation. Palpatine's yeah. going to be able to give his entire army order tokens, and he's going to be able to, you know, do the A-bomb, but he's also going to do give in to your anger. And Boba's going to do whipcord or flamethrower, you know, so there's a lot of stuff you just gotta understand and be like, okay, you know, I know he's probably going to do X this turn, or she is going to do X this turn. I need to be prepared for that. And how can I best combat that this turn?
No, sure. Yeah. That's, I can't tell you the times I just forget Vader's, Master of Evil. I'm like, yep, all right,
yeah, here we go. And, you know, we actually talked about on the Tories that, like, Dash Mike was talking about how many times he's gotten Vader into a position where he's hit 3 to 5 units with that Master of Evil. And I'm just like, good Lord, I don't know that I've ever seen that many units take it, but... I mean, this is something you got to be aware of. Like, he's going to come in, he's going to suppress you and just control that side of the board. So either kill him before he gets there, yep, or keep your distance until you can make another play.
No, I agree.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know. What else you got? You got anything else?
Let's see. Not a whole lot. I know there's a couple of local events coming up for us that we got to take a look at.
Yeah, so...
Have they announced the new play kit or anything? No, they announced how the new Worlds is going to be, right?
So Worlds is in, I believe it's the 21st and 22nd in Minneapolis, and it's going to be the top 8 from the High Command game at Adepticon. We'll have invites to Worlds. Yeah.
That's cool.
So if you, so here's your math for those of you who are playing. The last two maximum firepowers have 64 people. Each one is going to take the top six. So you got a little less than 10% chance of winning one of those. Then High Command is 32 people and they're taking the top 8 to Worlds. So your percentage is, what's that? That's 30. That's 40%, 30%, something like that. I'm not good with the numbers, but yeah, it's a quarter. Okay. It's a quarter of so 25%. It's 25% chance once you make it to the High Command.
Gotcha.
So, you know, these are your chances going in. I think they're good if you end up going, if you got into both LVO and Adepticon for the maximum firepowers like I did, you know, you got some good chances. I will say, just from my understanding, the next two maximum firepowers are going to have some of the best players that we know of out there right now. Where I think Gen Con... And no offense to the people that won at Gen Con or Nova, but I think it was too early for any of us to really realize what was happening, you know, at those maximum firepower events. So I don't know that the player pool was as strong or had as many people at Nova and Gen Con. You guys can correct me. I know Nova had a number of very good players that I know of. I don't know about Gen Con, but it seems to me like Vegas right now, in my head, I think I had 15 to 20 like top level players are going to be playing at LVO.
Man, that's a lot.
Yeah. So you're solidly going to meet one of them when you play at LVO. And so LVO is 4 regular rounds and then the top 12. So if you end up getting in the top 12, you're playing 5 rounds.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. I will say, though, luckily he's got it timed in a way that's really good. So there's like an hour for lunch. So once you get through your first 2 rounds, you'll get an hour of downtime, which is really nice.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's a good reset. Go grab some food, water, like rest, you know, rest your brain, so on and so forth. And it doesn't seem to go too late. Like, it starts pre-reg is like between 8 and 8:45. I think it starts at 9. And then it's like over by 9 or 10 o'clock at night, supposedly, based on the timing now. So it's not terrible. It's going to be a lot. I mean, I know I've done 3 rounds, 4 rounds, and by the 4th round, I'm exhausted. So I can't even imagine what top 12 is going to be like at LVO.
Yeah, it's going to be a murderer's row, right?
Yeah, but I think the positive thing would be is from a mental fatigue state, you're all in the same boat when you get up there. So it'd be interesting to see how the top 12, whomever they end up being, or will have, like, what kind of mental state they'll be in when they get there.
That's the, you know, some people can be good for 1 or 2 games, but it's the people who can be good for those 5 or 6 games that really are the true MVPs.
Right. Well, and I think they're doing it this, you know, the strength of schedule too. So it might even get like the more wins you have, right? So when you're into your 3rd and 4th games, you're going to be playing people who have similar wins.
Yeah.
Right. So you're going to be a 2-0 going against a 2-0. So it's just going to get increasingly harder until you get to the top 12.
No, agreed.
And I can't remember the exact number, but I believe you can be in the top. I think 2 people are going to be able to be in the top 12 with 1 loss.
Okay, that's not bad.
I think.
So don't one and drop, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah, and especially I know how disheartening it can be to lose your first game, but just wipe it off and move on and just reset for your next game.
Yeah, man.
You know, and especially
it's called torpedo mode, right?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, and especially like sometimes those games go a little bit faster than what the time's allotted for. Like, you know, you can, you know, when you've lost or whatever. And so if that happens, dude, take a break, check out, go lay down, go to the bathroom, like clear your head, you know, go do something and come back fresh for the next game.
No, yep. That's X-Wing is the problem is like when all your games go to time and so you don't get a break. Those are the bad days.
Oh, yeah, I've had those days in Legion, too. Yeah. But, you know, you just got to be prepared. And it may make sense, again, for us to talk. You know, we had this talk, I don't know, a while ago on one of the episodes about how to be prepared for a tournament with, like, water and food and, you know, taking breaks and the right shoes and stuff. But, you know, maybe we'll bring it up again and before LVO. It helps for a reminder for myself, too, especially the water thing. I'm always like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have 5 bottles of water. And then I'm like, I brought 2. What am I doing? Like,
hey, man, it happens.
So, yeah. But all right, everybody, I think that's gonna close today's episode. I'm trying to think Thursday this week, I think midday Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to be live streaming a game against War Corgi. He's on the Discord. His name's Mike. He actually does battle reports and stuff for Paint All the Minis. And then next week, he's actually going to be on the podcast. We're going to have an interview with him.
Oh, cool.
So look forward to that. Yeah. And then also, if you haven't had a chance, check out our YouTube channel again. We're doing a lot of live streaming on there now, different games. There's some KeyForge. There's going to be TTS. There's going to be all kinds of stuff on there. So really look at that and see what else we got going. And then the polls are still up for I think it's another 2 weeks. So if you haven't figured out the polls for whether or not you want us to have a merch store or Patreon and what kind of content you want us to start producing besides these podcasts, let us know on the polls. And you know, we've also started our blog. Right now, the one post we have up is not about Legion. Sorry to all of you that are very specific about what you want to read and hear. But it's a good read, and you know, it's something I wrote, and we're going to start blogging different topics all in the gaming industry. But like we will have some Legion posts and some game industry posts and other games and stuff like that. So, you know, if you don't have enough information in your life, you can always read our blog, and that's at thefifthtrooper.com. And yeah, so that's it, cool. I think. All right. Well, have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. And thank you so much for listening.
Everyone, stay rad.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.